Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special, extra long episode of Vibin' Out. I'm Wes.
I'm Steve.
And this week we have a very interesting and a very fun top five. Steve, what is that top five?
It is our very first of what we hope to be a series of superhero make-em-ups, part one.
That's right. This week we focused on animal-based superheroes. You know what? We'll explain the podcast. We've got a lot of show coming at you, so let's get to it. Steven, let me ask you a very personal question.
Oh, my.
Yes. How big is it? How do you feel about Sundays?
Sundays?
Yes.
I used to hate Sundays as a youth because it meant going to church.
Okay.
And it, to me, it meant the end of the weekend.
Sure.
I was like, oh, I have to wake up early, and I'm just counting down the moments till I go back to school. Like, I had to do homework, because I'm always a procrastination type.
Oh, yeah.
But now, I dig Sundays.
Really?
I do dig Sundays.
Why?
Because I feel like I generally have plans to do something on Friday night. There's always something to be done on Saturday, and Sunday is just the kind of like, I'm going to chill around the house. I'm going to do nothing. I'm going to watch Top Gear this evening. It's usually a very chill day, and I appreciate it.
Sure. I'm really beginning to hate Sundays.
Why?
Because it's like when you were a youth. You waited to do everything till Sunday. And it's like, well, that's how I treat Sundays nowadays. Like, you know, I have to do audio production stuff for the radio show, writing for the radio show, like random cleaning that I've been putting off all weekend, laundry, any other work from my actual job. It's, you know, I wait till Sunday to do it.
Well, no. Well, that's your problem, man. That's your problem.
But it never used to be this way.
What has happened to my Sundays?
What happened? And then, like, you know, you have that Monday looking over your shoulder being like, I'm right here.
Oh, baby.
I'm coming.
Muffin, I'm coming for you.
And it's not really, it's kind of like a weekend, but it's kind of a weeknight too, because you have to go to bed early.
Well, I think one of the main differences for you and I on Sundays is that for about, I don't know, 6-7 months of the year, it is pretty much devoted to friends and football.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, Sundays for my wife and I are blocked out pretty, like, of the 17 weeks of the NFL season, 14 of them are like, we're sitting our asses on the couch. We're going to eat and drink and hang out with our friends and watch football. So that bleeds over. So that kind of takes the fall and winter out. And then like spring and summer Sundays. Yeah, dude, like let's wake up. Let's make a little brunch. Let's like sleep in a little bit. Let's take the dog out to the park. Like, oh yeah, man, Sundays are.
Have a couple of drinks at brunch.
Yeah,
then take a
little nap.
Yeah. Yeah. That sounds awesome.
Because to be fair, that's exactly what I did on Sunday. We had an amazing brunch. We drank mimosas. I took a little nap. We took our dog to the dog park. And I'm 30 years old. So then that was it for me. That's a big day. No, and then I played video games and then I watched a rerun of Top Gear. There you go. That's my Sunday. Felt real good about it.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
Why can't I have that?
I don't know. Actually, I do know why. It's because you put off everything else until that day, so you enjoy Saturdays and Fridays too much.
Maybe I'm just too busy, because it's not like I'm sitting around with the thumb in my ass the rest of the week.
Well, a few days.
Well, I mean, you gotta have a thumb in your ass.
Come on.
At some point.
At least once a week.
Man, I don't know, man. Maybe I'm just too busy. Maybe I'm biting off more than I can chew. Now, I'm still able to chew it, but it, you know, it's kind of a chore.
But you're swallowing right as the next bite is coming in?
Yeah.
All right.
Well, or it's like you take a bite that's a little too big, so you have to, you know, you can't close your mouth and chew. You have to, like, do the open mouth chewing with a hand over your mouth to cover. That's how big a bite I'm taking right now.
That's why I get really mad with my employer, or employers in general,
mm-hmm.
when, you know, you work a 9-to-5 job, and then it's like, oh, you're here till 5:30 or 5:45, or I need to stay here until 6, or I need to come in early. It's like, every once in a while, fine, dude, I'm a team player. That's cool. When that becomes the norm, like, no, friends, we've made an agreement. 9 to 5, mm-hmm. and then I live my life.
Yes.
So when work starts to, like, come home with me, and when those hours start to bleed out, is it like I get very, very defensive of my personal time. I'm very defensive about it.
Interesting. Maybe that's where the problem lies. Because I don't know if we've talked about this on the podcast before, but I work from home for my day job. So my work is literally at my home.
Yeah.
So I can't bring home work with me. It's here. It's already here. It's like the third roommate.
No, can't. I don't. I do. No. I get really upset about it.
Maybe that's the issue.
Got to keep. I mean, it's very important. Like, a paycheck is very important, obviously. Need that money to survive.
Yeah.
But I'm not willing to sacrifice my relationships with friends and not take care of my dog.
Sure.
And put stress on my marriage and all, because worky needs me, you know, in a time that we did not agree to.
I'm glad that your job has a cute pet name for you.
Oh, little worky.
Little worky
baby. I just can't.
Ah, but you know, working from home does have a lot of benefits. But,
sure does. The commute's great.
The commute is wonderful.
Especially after this St. Patrick's Day, when you will be hungover as shit, but all you have to do is roll out into your living room.
But I did take this Wednesday off, so.
Because you're going to be hungover going into Thursday.
That's right. Speaking of St. Patty's Day, we're doing this. We're filming this. We're doing it.
Doing it.
We're doing it now.
Wait, just real quick. You said you're filming doing this?
We're making a porn.
All right.
Right now. No, we're doing this podcast.
The benefits of working at home.
We're doing this podcast on a Monday, which is weird. How do you feel about Mondays really fast?
What a ridiculous question.
You're right. Moving on. So St. Patty's Day is tomorrow, Steve, which I'm super excited about.
To be honest, though, I mean, I'm excited about St. Patty's Day as well, but what a shitty day for a St. Pat's Day, right? Tuesday?
You know, I've always said that Tuesdays are really like a second Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because Wednesday is the middle of the week. It's almost done. Thursday, it's almost like a Friday. Friday's Friday.
You know, speaking of days of the week and work, you know what's really cool about the current job I'm at?
Can we just have a top 5 days of the week podcast?
Man, we should. Let's go real quick.
Well, obviously, Saturday.
Is that your number one?
Yeah.
Mine too. All right.
All right. Number two, Friday.
Number two, Sunday.
No!
I'm taking the full weekend, baby.
Oh, God. We're
I'm
breaking
taking
up.
The full weekend.
We're breaking up as friends.
I'll go Friday, 3.
Okay. I'll do Thursday, 3.
Wow.
I told you, man. Sundays suck.
I'm going to go Wednesdays next because I get paid on Wednesdays, which is a really nice bonus.
See, I get paid every other Thursday.
No, Wednesdays. Okay. Weekly Wednesdays, baby.
All right. Well, then it's probably Sunday after that for me.
Then I'll take the Thursday.
Sure. Then I'll take the Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday. Sorry, baby.
Boo! Anyway, what?
It is official. They have been booted out of the week.
That's right. But what was your question?
I was going to say that I really appreciate being paid every Wednesday.
Because
there's something to look forward to right at the middle. So like, even when I get to Tuesday, but I get paid tomorrow. So that's good.
Yeah.
So that helps. It helps Wednesday a lot, but it also gives a little boost over to Tuesday, which
sure.
I appreciate.
Sure. No, Monday is the start of the week. You plan out your entire week, and Tuesday's just another Monday.
It's true.
God damn it. Anyway.
So you're a big St. Patty's man.
I'm a huge St. Patty's man.
You have zero Irish in you. But you are a St. Patty's enthusiast.
That's right. I'm ready to drink, fight, and you know what? Dye my hair red.
I need a lot of taters.
And that's right.
No, Wes, don't do it. Don't do it.
I'm going to. It's
don't do
happen.
It.
The whole rest of the podcast in this accent. the past 4 years. No, this will be the fourth year. My girlfriend and I throw an all-day St. Patty's Day party.
God.
And it's wonderful and awesome. And, Steve, I have to ask you, because so many new drunk stories will happen tomorrow. What is one of your favorite drunk stories to tell?
Oh, man. This is a St. Patty's Day thing. I know everyone has several drunk stories, but this is the most drunk I have ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Wife and I and one of my best friends of my whole life. I've known him since like 7th grade.
Oh, Steve. Oh, wait.
It was he and his girlfriend who I'd met several times, and then he brought his girlfriend's total cunt of a sister.
Oh, no.
I do not use that word often at all. I reserve it for only the most extreme situations. Notice that I have used the word in this situation.
Okay.
So what I thought was going to be just me and the wifey and one of my best friends going out, having some drinks, having some fun out in the town, going to a couple different bars or whatever. And he brings his girlfriend's sister.
Mm-hmm.
Just the biggest bitch I've ever met.
Wow.
Just flat. Like, you, oh my God. Everything you say makes me want to punch you. Like, she's the worst. She is the worst. So here is an indication of how bad she is. We get to the bar. And, of course, St. Patty's, there's all sorts of specials. There's all sorts of stuff to drink. And this bitch sister, she's like, the waitress comes up and she's like, what do you recommend? And the waitress is like, oh, I mean, what do you want? Do you want beer? Do you want wine? Do you want a mixed drink? She's like, whatever. And she's like, well, one of my favorite drinks is one of the specials tonight. It's this grapefruit and gin drink, which to me, I'm like, oh, that's awful. But she, you know, the waitress likes it. She says it's good. So the sister's like, yeah, okay, I'll have that. So a few minutes later, waitress brings back the gin and grapefruit drink with everyone else's beers and whatever else. And bitch sister takes she takes a sip and she goes, I don't like this. I'm going to send it back. I said, you can't send it back. She's like, why? It's not good. I was like, you can't ask for anything. And then when they give you something, send it back. That's not how this works. You can't be like, you know what? I'll just, yeah, whatever. Whatever. Just bring me whatever. And then she brings you whatever and you say, no, this isn't right.
Stop being a see you next Tuesday.
God, it was. So then it became this thing where my buddy's girlfriend was like awkward because her sister is being such a bitch. And she's like, no, switch with me. I'll drink it. And then me already a couple of beers in. I was like, it's like, I'll drink it. Whatever. So as we like, and it was, as we were leaving the bar, I basically just sat this gin and grapefruit drink next to me because it was horrible, as I assumed it would be.
Mm-hmm.
So we had other drinks, and right before we left, fighting with this girl all night long, I pound my beer, I pound her gin and grapefruit, and then my buddy's girlfriend also left some wine, and I was like, and just like to put it in the bitch girlfriend's or sister's face, I was like, beer, gin and grapefruit, and wine, boom, 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 let's go. And then about 8 steps later, I was like, yeah, like rubber legged. And I was like, I was speaking to my wife, I was like, Holly, I totally showed her, didn't I? Like, yeah, she's a bitch. And then, of course, as we walk home, I was like, oh, no, it's stopping this bar. And Holly's like, wait, wait. I was like, come on. We go in. I buy her and I both a beer and a shot. And I run into another random dude from high school. Wasn't even good friends with him in high school. And I was like, dude, we have got to get together. Man, I haven't seen you in so long. Like, I became that guy.
Oh, man, that
and
guy.
And then, oh, we're not done, friend.
Oh, no.
We stepped out of that bar. And I threw up on the hood of someone's car. Right outside of the bar. You know, like a suave, debonair gentleman. As I escorted my lady home. Stumbling and falling into things. Then, when we got home, I threw up again. And then I thought, oh no, and then, excuse me, the following morning, I woke up super early. Super dude, like 5 a.m. early, because I had to throw up yet again.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what I really want to do? I want to take a bath. You know what I don't do is take fucking baths. I'm 6'4", and I don't fit in bathtubs. I haven't taken a bath since I was like 13 years old, and I was like, this is stupid. So I fill up the bathtub, and then I crawl, and I'm like, oh, it's so warm. And then I fall asleep. Mm-hmm. In the bathtub with my mouth about 5 centimeters above the level of the water. So lucky I did not drown myself. And then this bathtub has a very, 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 very slow drain. So eventually, I woke up to my wife knocking on the door and me shaking because I'm in approximately a quarter inch of water. It's all gone. I'm like, ha! And she's like, Steve, are you okay? I'm like, I'm fine. And she like picked the lock as I'm laying in an empty bathtub shivering. So, yeah, I love St. Patty's Day. There you go.
Wow. Okay. Holy crap. I don't I remember you telling me about this story.
But just a reminder, I totally showed that bitch what's up.
You totally did, dude.
Totally showed her.
Was it her hood that you vomited on?
God, I hope so.
Oh my God. I have a couple of drunk stories. Well, they're both really quick. Because a lot of my drunk stories involve like me getting really, really drunk and then like going to bed. It's like, I'm just drunk. I'm going to go to bed. But I remember, when I first started drinking, like my first year in college, my good friend Aaron Tucker at the time, shout out to you if you're listening out there, taught me how to drink. And she was a very good teacher and she told me, yes, good. She showed me the wonders of UV blue and lemonade.
Oh man.
Oh,
that
boy.
Is a tasty beverage.
It is. And it's dangerous for
it is.
When you first start drinking.
Sure.
You don't know your limits.
And it's all sugar.
And it tastes delicious.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't taste the alcohol.
No.
Yeah, so I have, I don't know, 4, 5, why not? And then we go see the Bring Your Own Play Festival at Western Illinois University, where we went to school. So I sit through that, and I'm holding it together pretty well. Until the end, when a friend of mine shows up, like, hey, Wes, what's going on? I, like, hey, man. And I tried to high-five him. I trip over my chair and wind up like kind of trying to catch myself, and these are folding chairs that are set up in the audience. I try to catch myself with a chair next to me. I kind of my arm goes through the back and the seat of the chair. So like now I'm like bringing down two other chairs, and like my head hit the chair next to that chair. Basically, I went down taking 3 chairs with me.
Strong work.
Yeah, that's
strong.
What I did. The next one I wanted to tell, this is just super embarrassing. Like, this is one of the, I think the only times it's ever happened to me in my life. It was a year after college, so I'm in that phase of like post-college, like what the fuck am I going to do with my life? I'm all trained up. I got this degree. Mm. Where do I go?
Sure.
So a couple of friends and I were going to go out to the bar. So we've been drinking for like hours. And one of my friends brings out some this jungle juice that she from this party that she threw a couple days ago. And like,
oh, good. Good. Couple day old jungle juice.
I'm beginning to see that sugary drinks are not good for me.
Oh, man.
Because what happened, like, everyone else, like, no, I don't want any. Like, I'm good. Like, yeah, I'll have some jungle juice. And then same thing happened. Like, I can't even taste it. And it got to the point where I just took the jug and started drinking from that.
Good.
I took a good amount of it down.
Sure.
The next thing I remember, I'm waking up on my living room floor. I was told the next day that, like, I had to go home to, like, get my license because we were going out for the bars. Going to go out to the bars. Or, like, to get some cash. Or I had to go home for some reason. Like, I got home, grabbed my stuff, like, got outside, went back outside, and they said that, like, I just kind of, like, looked around, and then, like, I just kind of stumbled back inside and, like, tried to make it to the bed, but couldn't make it. I just, like, passed out on the living room floor.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Nice.
And I woke up, and I stumbled to bed, and I was like, I can't wait to hear about this tomorrow.
And then you wake up and you say, God, I hope I didn't ruin my life.
Like, that's right.
Or somebody else's.
Thank God I didn't. Thank God it was just some stumbling.
You know, the good news is the story I told is the most drunk I've ever been in my life. I have never blacked out from drinking. Like, I've never had that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, I woke up in a place I didn't know where I was. Like, that has never happened to me, which I appreciate.
Sure, sure. I mean, that's like the only time it's happened where I wake up not in my bed. But, yeah, it was weird, man. I was like, oh no, where am I? I wake up and I'm looking at like the leg of my dining room table. I'm like,
what is this?
What the hell am I looking at?
So let those please be a lesson to you while you enjoy this St. Paddy's Day.
Please drink responsibly.
And you know what? Just a little bit irresponsible. Just a little bit irresponsible. Not behind the wheel of a car or anything.
Yes.
But just get a little irresponsible at a party and then bring it right back.
Yeah. And if there's a bitch there, make sure to show her.
Drink everything. And show her what's up.
And if there's 2-day-old jungle juice, stay away from that.
No. That's bad news.
Stay away. If you're having UV blue and lemonade, cut it off at 2 or 3.
Man, sugary drinks. Because there's something about, obviously, the alcohol that you do not taste. But also, like, that sugar also just, like it, like, draws the water out. Like, there's something about that sugar that just amplifies the drunkenness.
It's like you're a scientist, Steve.
If I look at the cellular walls.
It's like the sugar just draws that water. And then, you know, the water's gone.
And then, you know, fucked up. You know, you're familiar with the scientific term.
Yeah,
getting
yeah.
all fucked up.
The sugar takes the mitochondrial walls of the... I think we made our point.
I think so.
Yeah.
Although I would love it if at some point, like, there's some sort of, I don't know, like, there's a crime or something, and they bring, like, you know, a DNA forensic scientist out, like, to interview with the news. They're like, well, obviously we had a case of some teenagers getting real fucked up and making some bad decisions. I'm sorry, what did you say, Dr. Svensson? You heard what I said. These kids got all fucked up on sugary drinks. Didn't know how much they could drink. 2-day-old jungle juice for this one. Licking table legs over here. That's what I'm saying. These kids are all fucked up.
That's right.
And because everyone in the U.S. be like, oh, yeah, fucked up. I get it. Yeah, we've been there.
Oh, yeah, totally.
They don't have to be like, oh, mildly intoxicated because of the high levels of alcohol in their bloodstream. Like,
no, all fucked up.
Let's get real. Let's get real.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of getting real, we got some real-time emails coming at us this week.
Holy crap, dude. We had so many emails last week.
It actually makes me wonder if, because our top five last week was top five aliens,
mm-hmm.
if a vast percentage of the people that listen to us happen to be aliens and are defending their own kind. Because we got so many emails.
That's true. Like, Google actually wrote me a handwritten letter. Saying that my Gmail inbox is too full.
Too full. Can't, yeah. Guys, so we're just going to hand scribe these for you, and here you go.
Yep. But Nathaniel, who was a man with a plan last week, he wrote us in his top five aliens. He writes in his number five. Well, first of all, he says it would be somewhat silly of me to suggest a topic and then not provide my own top five.
Absolutely, Nathaniel. You're 100% correct.
That said, a serious top five would cover much the same choices that you discuss in your podcast. So instead, I'm going to mention five aliens that you did not discuss.
I love it. Shedding light on some lesser alien species.
Yeah, speaking of lesser aliens, number five, the worm guys from Men in Black.
Yeah, dude. Strong choice.
Oh, yeah.
There are some aliens in Men in Black, for sure.
I mean, it's almost like that's a big part of the movie.
Weird.
His number four is Lilu from The Fifth Element.
Oh, man.
It's very hot.
Yeah, because it took me so long to watch The Fifth Element, mm-hmm. for some reason in my mind, I thought that she was mute.
Yeah.
Like, with never having seen the movie, only just these little tiny bits and you saying how good it is and...
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, for some reason, I thought she couldn't speak. So then when I watched the movie and she could speak, I was like, I don't know why I thought you couldn't talk, but I wish you couldn't talk.
His number three is the Independence Day aliens. The phrase murder machine came up a lot in your discussions, generally referring to single aliens. But here's an entire race of murder machines who are brought down by failing to keep their antivirus updated. A lesson for us all there.
It truly is a lesson. But I feel like... you so rarely see that alien in that film,
mm-hmm.
that I almost think of them as spaceships,
mm-hmm.
instead of aliens.
Sure.
But a good pick as well, because Independence Day is one of my favorite movies of all time. Not a film.
Film, yes.
Not a film. A movie. I mean, that might be a top 10 movie for me.
Speaking of top 10 movies, his number two is Groot. From Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, yes. What can we say that hasn't already been said?
I think we could say, I am Groot.
Has that been said?
No.
That was the first time that's ever been
ever
said. Got it. His number one is the Weeping Angels from Doctor Who.
Goddamn Doctor Who!
I know, always appearing on these lists!
And people love it. You know what? I'm not ready to commit to watching Doctor Who, but I'm being drawn toward it. Like a moth to a flame.
Like a person in a tractor beam.
Like a man trying to prove a bitch wrong.
But Drew, I believe, is a first-time writer.
Drew, welcome.
He writes in his top five. He says, first off, Steve, I love you, but Wes totally won that list.
Drew, thank you very much. That is the last we'll be hearing of you.
Thank you, Drew. Great list.
Okay.
He says great lists from both of you, though.
Oh, yeah. Great.
You get a participation
so
trophy, Steve.
Everybody gets a ribbon here. That's fantastic.
But his list is as follows. His number five is the alien bounty hunter from The X-Files. Good pick.
Not familiar? Go ahead.
Okay. His number four is Syl, the sexy alien from Species.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Well,
just trying to get a little action.
Well, yes. I mean, luckily, that alien happened to possess the body of a supermodel. Because
mm-hmm.
the alien itself ain't no sexy thing.
Well, you know, each person has his or her own preferences. So somebody out there might look at that vagina pod and I'm going to fuck that vagina pod.
Well, Wes, just to be fair, because I would absolutely retool my list if we were basing best aliens on ones we most want to have sex with.
That's very true.
I would very much. Predator would not make it on my list.
Are you sure?
No, I'm not.
Because if he wanted to have sex with you, you'd be having sex with
I'll
Predator.
I'll tell you right now. If the Predator was like, I'm going to have sex with you, I'd be like, well, so it is. Because it's better than having a hole blown through me with a laser cannon.
Oh, yeah. His number three is the Asari from the Mads Effect games, an entire race of beautiful blue women. Family is incredibly important to them, and they are all very powerful in a fight.
You know what? I wanted to mention, I was thinking about Mass Effect during this alien, the alien top five, and the Asari. Absolutely, there's something really kind of sexy about the Asari, but
that's from Mass Effect. Okay, there was a type. Yeah. I thought there was another game called Mads Effect.
No, Mass Effect.
Mass Effect.
But the thing that one of the great things about Mass Effect is that there are several races of aliens, and they are all very well defined and very well represented, and each has it's not just like, oh, here's it, like, here's this kind of alien and this kind of alien. Like, there are backstories to their entire race, and mm-hmm. Some of them butt heads, and it's masterfully done.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? There is something about the Asari that I agree with this gentleman 100%, except for the fact that your list was better than mine.
Can't you have sex with an Asari?
You sure can.
Oh, boy. His number two is Goku from Dragon Ball Z.
Again, man.
I've never gotten into Dragon Ball Z.
I feel like Dragon Ball Z came a couple years after I was like out of... I was too cool for cartoons for a little bit.
Sure. Because I think we were the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
You know what?
Age.
I kind of skipped Power Rangers for some reason.
How dare you?
I know. Part of me now, as a 30-year-old elderly man, feels like I missed a little... I saw a few... I mean, I've seen episodes here and there when I was a kid, but...
Go ahead, sorry.
No, I even as my cynical 13 to 11-year-old self, I was like, God, this acting is horrible.
Did you see that super realistic, super dark and bloody Power Rangers?
I heard about
it. Oh, dude, it's great.
Yeah?
We should watch it after we're done here.
Because they were talking about, they wonder if that little video would spawn something like that Mortal Kombat series
mm-hmm.
that was that web series like the dark kind of backstories of each character.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like totally down with something like that. That's cool.
But so we're going to watch that after we're done here.
Yes.
But his number one is the Borg from Star Trek.
Wow. That's a really good pick.
That is a very good pick.
I am not a huge Star Trek dude. I don't frown upon Star Trek. I know a little bit about it,
mm-hmm.
but I know as a kid I was like, oh, the Borg. You don't fuck with the Borg.
Yeah.
Borg are real deal.
That's what I hear. Again, not a big fan of Star Trek either, but yeah.
But you know what? Let us give our quick condolences to the passing of Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, that's right. That's very sad.
Yes, as the quote-unquote nerds that we are, it would only seem appropriate that we tip our glass to him as well. So here's to you, Leonard Nimoy.
Here's to you, sir.
Thank you.
But Michael Mamadergene writes in...
Hold on a second. What's that second name?
You heard me.
Mamadergene?
Mitergene. Mitergene.
I'm sorry for Wes.
he writes in his top five. His number five is the Crystal Gems from Steven Universe. I don't know what those are.
From what?
Steven Universe. Your universe, Steve.
How was I not aware? I have left it in ruin.
Apparently there's gems that are crystal there.
Why are they not mine?
I don't know.
Jesus.
But his number four is Groot from Guardians, of course. His number three is Stitch from Lilo and Stitch. Thank you.
Yes. His number talking about murder machines.
Yes.
I didn't know it was supposed to be just like from the Fifth Element. I thought it was supposed to be this cute koala thing.
No.
No.
It's a murder destruction machine.
It's a planet destroyer.
That's right.
Man.
His number two is Paul from the movie Paul. Now, that's exactly what you think. Yeah. Stoner alien.
Yeah. Voiced by Seth Rogen, right?
Was he the voice?
I think it's Seth Rogen.
Okay. I know he was in it, but could maybe very well be.
So it's either Seth Rogen or obviously James Franco. One of the two.
Or you know what? It's either them or anybody else.
Oh, that's right.
Yes. His number one is the Doctor, of course. Again.
From Doctor Who.
From Doctor Who. Obviously not Doctor House.
Doctor, I believe wholeheartedly that he is an alien.
But we usually only do three, but we got so many in last week.
Gotta do it.
Let's do an extra one. Boyd C. Adkins the Fourth.
Oh, Boyd C. Adkins the Fourth.
That's right.
You know, Boyd C. Adkins the Fourth is a delight. I preferred the second, but don't tell Boyd C. Adkins the Fourth.
Yeah, don't tell him that. His number five is... how do we miss this? Kal-El / Clark Kent / Superman.
No, I thought about it, but yeah. You know my prejudice against Superman.
You hate white people.
I hate... If he's a whitey, thumbs down.
He's a stupid honky.
He's too good. I don't buy into Superman.
Sure. Okay. His number four is Elvis from Perfect Dark on N64.
Wow.
Never played it. I don't know.
That's an excellent pick.
That's a deep cut right there.
That's a deep cut.
His number three is Goku from Dragon Ball Z.
Yep.
Okay. His number two is Alf. I never got into Alf.
Wow. Did not think about Alf at all.
Doesn't he eat cats?
So I love Alf.
I love Alf.
Alf, I need more elves in my life.
You do.
Is Alf plural elves or elves? Elf?
I think it's like
alphas.
I think it's more like sheep and sheep.
Just more elf.
Look at all those elves. Elf.
God, there's a whole pack of elf coming at us.
Nah, I think it has to be elves.
Sure. Elves. All right.
And his number one is, I mean, I didn't even think of this one. The Solomons from Third Rock from the Sun.
Wow,
right?
Wow.
Boyd C. Adkins the Fourth. I don't think Boyd C. Adkins II could have come up with that one.
I got to tell you right now, that 1-2 combo is... it. And if you could just get rid of French Stewart out of that combo with his squinty face, that'd be great with me.
Oh, yeah. But John Lithgow, what's his... Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And the woman.
The other woman thing.
The woman that will knock my teeth out.
That's right.
Man.
Boyd C. Adkins the Fourth. You may be the fourth, but you're number one in our hearts.
Couldn't say it better myself.
But enough of aliens, illegal or otherwise. Steve, let's talk about this week's top five. What the hell is it?
Wes, for the very first time, and not the last time.
Oh boy.
We are doing our superhero make-em-ups.
This is number one.
Number one.
Of a 65-part series.
64, Wes.
Sorry.
In honor of Nintendo 64.
That's right.
So what we're doing, again, one more time, we are going to be throwing... this superhero make-em-up is going to be based off of animals.
Yes.
So we are going to be throwing different animals at our opposing top fiver, and they have to make up that superhero on the spot somehow based off of that animal.
Okay. Now, Steve, I have a couple animals on my list that you might not know what they are.
Well,
so
that's because you're an a-hole.
That is exactly why I did it. So, Steve, why don't I give you your first pop quiz? This is a softie, all right? This is a soft one coming at you.
It's called a softball. Well, it's not a softie.
I was thinking
of a half-erect penis.
I was thinking of a flaccid dick. I'm not going to lie. So my softy number five.
Oh God!
Woo!
Yuck!
It's a platypus.
Oh, dude.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. I'm not familiar.
Yeah, you're not familiar.
No, I'm absolutely familiar with a platypus.
Tell me all about it.
It's the only mammal with a bill, motherfuckers.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Well, okay. So the coolest thing about a platypus, for sure, is that it has poisonous spines that come.
See, I didn't even know that.
I know the platypus, dude.
Oh, my God.
I do not mess around. The platypus... No, I'm sorry. It's the only mammal that lays eggs.
That's true.
That's the main thing about the platypus. But the coolest thing about the platypus is that it has poisonous spines coming from behind its little flappy business. You know, that's the technical term. Flappy business.
The flaccid dicks?
No!
No. Okay.
God, no! All right. So if I'm a superhero based off... you know what? It's going to be... like an assassin style character.
Okay.
Because what's going to happen is that superhero, which obviously is Captain Platypus or Captain Platy. Captain Platy!
Captain Platy!
Captain Platy.
Oh, I'm so excited now.
I realized when I was thinking about these animals too, I kept saying, Captain Animal! Fill in the blank. I couldn't get myself out of Captain. So this is clearly Captain Platy. And Captain Platy is going to be one of those superheroes that is, like, he is a good guy.
Okay.
But sometimes you question his ethics and how he does things.
Sure, sure.
And also because he's so weird, because like, he's the only mammal that lays eggs. So there's going to be like, this weird thing. But the reason he's an assassin is because he's going to, you know, slyly work up next to, you know, the target. And then, like, it's going to look like he just puts a hand on the target, but he's going to actually unleash his poisonous spine into the shoulder blade or the neck area of said person and render them dead. Because I think the platypus, it's not going to kill you. It's going to sting like hell.
Sure.
But it's not going to kill you. But obviously,
sure,
this is going to be our killing man. But how the eggs work in, because obviously... Well, that's going to be the thing. That's going to be like the thing that really puts him in this, like, what the hell is Captain Platy's deal? And
you're a loose cannon, Captain Platy. Give me your badge and your gun.
I feel like, you know what it is? Because eggs come from the reproductive system. That's how they reproduce.
Is that how it works?
That's when one platypus loves another platypus.
Oh, boy.
They poison spine the hell out of each other.
I'm sorry, I ruined your train of thought.
No, believe me, I'm right there. Okay. I'm thinking about Platy sex right now. It's all good.
It's all good, baby.
The platypus, Captain Platy. There's a better name, but I'm calling everything Captain. I've already decided.
No, I love it.
Captain Platy, when he is about to, he's gonna fall in love. Like, it's gonna be something like Cyclops and Jean Grey. There's always gonna be this kind of like this woman that's playing with his heart, and then he will have this woman at least once, and at that time she's gonna be like, Captain Platy, take me. And instead of, you know, kissing on her neck and like lifting her up, and you know, that's he's gonna do something fucking weird, because he's the only mammal that lays eggs.
Okay,
so like he's gonna like, I don't know, he's gonna like suck on her finger and then like squat down. And then she's like, what do you, and he's like, wow, that was amazing. She's like, what was it? And then he's going to leave. That's it. Like, he's going to be super duper sexually awkward. But man, can he put some stuff down with that poison spine?
Wow. Where does a bill come into play?
You know what? He's a big fan of government bills.
And obviously, his theme song is Captain Platy. He's our hero.
Gonna be sexually awkward to zero. Gonna kill you with his poison spine. It's gonna be good.
It's gonna be good.
So I mean, by no stretch of the imagination is Captain Platy getting his own film.
No,
at least at this point. But I mean, that's what. So basically, Captain Platy.
Okay,
he's gonna be rolling with poisoning dudes with that assassination style, and just the most awkward lover one could imagine.
But he's so smooth up to that point, though.
Yeah, he's. I almost see him as like the quiet. And by the way, he's a great swimmer.
Oh,
great.
Of course. He has to be.
Great.
With
great
his flappiness
swimmer.
Back there.
Great. With the, you know, the flappy business.
Yeah, the flappy business.
Okay. So that's nope. I guess that's my number five.
Well, Steve, that was a fantastic way to start us off.
Well, thank you. So I'm going to send another mammal that lives in the water to you, sir.
Okay.
I'm going to send to you the sea cow.
The manatee.
Yes. So you get to be the manatee.
Well, a lot of people don't know this, but, well, maybe a lot of people do know this. I don't talk to a lot of people about manatees, but what people, you know, there's legends back in the day how sailors were always told other people about, like, oh, yeah, there's mermaids on the water, and they think that was because they saw manatees. So, obviously.
Is that right?
Yeah. That's what they think.
Learning some things today.
Yeah, that's a legitimate theory. You didn't know that?
No, I really didn't.
Yeah. So, obviously, this manatee is, it's like going to be like a where?
Did they think that mermaids were just big, fat, aquatic women?
Well, when you're out to sea for months on end with nothing but, like, Scabby Larry next to you and Smelly Pete.
Scabby Larry, did you see that out there? My God, she's a siren of the sea. Jesus, that's a sea cow. Jesus, what are you looking at? Shut up, Larry. I need something.
Obviously, this has to be a were-manatee type of situation. So obviously, like, during the full moon, or like, maybe it's at every night, like, this beautiful woman superhero walking around with powers of a manatee. Powers of a manatee, all right? Which means that she's a super good swimmer. She looks beautiful, but she can control her weight and her mass. So like she can make herself weigh so much more if she needs to.
Oh, okay.
Which, you know, she can also concentrate that mass behind like punches and kicks and stuff.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
But every night she turns back into that manatee.
Oh man. So she has to be near water near nightfall.
Yes.
Otherwise she's just a land cow then.
a very ugly land cow.
Wow.
And obviously the name would have to be Were Manatee.
Obviously, people. So sorry to take the obvious route.
Yeah. Sorry folks, didn't want to surprise you too much there. But I could totally see her solving crimes along the waterfront. You know, like, yeah. maybe like, of course I just automatically go to Dexter because I was set in Florida. But
yeah,
like
some sort of island nation / peninsula.
Yeah. Like maybe she's on the police force and, you know, she's a secret superhero on the police force and she does her own investigations using her superpowers. But every night she has to go to the waterfront to turn that manatee. Maybe like, maybe there's a fellow cop or two that suspect that
she's a manatee.
She's a man. I know this sounds crazy, Scabby Larry. but Sheila, I think she turns to a manatee at night.
Wait a minute. Super Sheila, she's the best cop on the force.
I know, but have you noticed that she can really put away those donuts? She never gains a pound.
Yeah, but we're all cops. We can all put away the donuts.
But we're getting fat, and she's getting more beautiful.
My God, you might have a point there. From now on, everyone is taking a basic DNA test to prove if you're a manatee.
That's right.
As it turns out, our HR department won't let us test if people are manatees. They find it offensive to overweight people. Specifically, Scabby Larry.
So yeah, man, that's going to be my superhero.
I like it.
Wear Manatee.
Well done, sir.
Thank you, sir. Well, sir, your next one is the elusive amoeba.
An amoeba?
Yes.
Wow.
Do you need to take a moment? I feel like
no.
if you don't need, like we should institute the rule that if you have no idea what the animal is, take a couple minutes to...
I know what a fucking amoeba is.
Okay, I thought you were stupid.
It's just...
You didn't know about Scabulary, the legend of the manatees, the manatee mermaids.
To be fair, I have been illuminated in that regard.
That's true.
An amoeba. The tiniest little force of life that there is on the earth, essentially.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tiny little cellular life.
Mm-hmm.
I want everything to be Captain, but Amoeba Man sounds pretty good.
I mean, it has to be that.
I feel like Amoeba Man on the regular almost looks like the DNA strand from Jurassic Park. Like, this kind of smiley cartoon thing, but for some reason he wears a suit. because he wants to be taken seriously.
Oh, of course.
However, that's where the pleasantries with Amoeba Man they end.
Oh, sure.
Amoeba Man, as soon as his cellular walls come in touch with that of another, he can go inside that person.
Ooh.
Similar to the movie Inner Space.
Okay.
If you ever saw the movie Inner Space, did you ever see the movie?
No, I didn't.
By the way, I effing loved that movie when I was a kid.
Okay.
One of the Quaids, he basically gets shrunk down to this tiny little like submarine, basically the size of like an amoeba, if you will, and gets put inside the bloodstream of Martin Short. And
yes.
It's fantastic. But Amoeba Man, he can go inside another person's body at a cellular level.
Okay.
And can affect them in various ways. And I think his power will grow. So this is a Netflix miniseries.
Okay.
For Amoeba Man. And he originally realizes, oh my God, I've turned into a cartoon DNA strand. My life is very different. But once he realizes he can go inside people, like, he doesn't have mind control necessarily, and he can't, he doesn't have ultra powers at the beginning. He will develop them as he goes. But
sure.
He can float up to someone's brain, and he can affect maybe, like, the yes or no part of their brain when he is still developing his powers. Maybe
their sight or their smell make them see something weird. Okay.
Exactly. He can affect their senses.
Mm-hmm.
He can go into their heart and make like give them almost a simulated heart, like a shortness of breath and not a real heart attack, but he can.
Sure.
And I think eventually obviously the Netflix series is based off of the comic book, of course, all these are. So the comic book runs for 20 years and then he gets a Netflix series. Eventually he'll power up and be able to like grab other cells as he's in there and like recruit other cells in those bodies to help him. So like originally it'll just be him trying to like in a human body, trying to figure out what he can do to stop crime and, you know, and help his own cause. And then eventually he's going to be somehow like kicked out of someone's body. They'll sneeze and reject him.
Ooh, okay.
And then they'll see his cartoon body and they'll be like, oh, we've got to kill him. We've got to kill. What did I say his name is? What amoeba?
Amoeba Man.
Amoeba Man. We got to kill Amoeba Man. But then, like, a dog will run by.
Sure.
And he'll like latch onto a dog and be like, "Oh my God, I can essentially use this dog like a horse. Their brain is so much simpler. I can affect more at the same time." And like,
okay,
he'll refine his craft, and then he'll come back to crime.
Sure.
And no longer will he just be able to give you the sensation of a heart attack.
Uh huh.
It will be a heart attack.
This sounds scary.
He will be able to control your smell. So he'll be able to like set up poisons beforehand and like reduce your body's ability to detect them. And that
interesting.
And, yeah. So like Amoeba Man, again, maybe it's just because I have this demeanor. I'm turning him into that questionable Sure. His methods are questionable. Like, we need the were manatee taken care of. Don't worry, it'll be taken care of. Now wait a second. I know you're a loose cannon, amoeba man. I don't want her dead. I just want her taken care of. I said it will be done. And you don't know what will happen.
Now, question, does he look like that cartoon DNA strand all the time?
All the time.
So he's full-sized, life-sized, human-sized.
Yeah, but he's still really short, though. I'll say he's, like, he's human, but, like, human-sized, very short. He's like 5 feet tall.
Okay.
Like a 5 foot tall Jurassic Park DNA animation wearing a suit. That's what he is.
So his identity is compromised almost immediately.
Yeah, he very rarely comes out of some, like, because the thing is, he can also just, like, float around their circulatory system.
Sure.
Just hanging out, not doing anything. Just hanging out with the red blood cells.
Sure.
Just doing his thing. Doesn't have to affect anything, just hanging out. And then he can be like, and I'm out. Okay. And here I am. You called upon this animated DNA. I am Amoeba Man. So there you go. There's Amoeba Man.
Awesome. I feel like Were Manatee, I'm trying to think, like, it sounds like something that would be on, like, a 22-episode, like, primetime network TV series. I'd want it to be 13 episodes, but it'll probably be 22.
I mean, ideally, you want HBO or AMC to pick that up.
Sure.
But I feel like this is a Starz show.
Sure.
Starz with a Z.
Ooh.
Because that's how they spell it. So to you, sir.
Okay.
Just innocent, cutest as can be, koala.
Koala. See, koalas, their strength is in their demeanor, I feel, because they look
stoic.
So calm. I don't want to say withdrawn, but just like so just content just to sit there and chew bamboo.
No! God damn it, Wes! Eucalyptus!
I'm so stupid!
God damn it, it's not a goddamn panda. Ridiculous!
You're right. But so obviously Koala Man, he's a man. But
he's a man.
So I have a feeling that koalas in general have this inner ferocity.
I agree.
That they're just like balls of potential energy. And when they unleash that, they go on murderous rampages.
Oh, man, I'm glad we're on the same page on this.
Same here. You look at koalas like, you know, that's really cute, but don't you fuck with that koala, all right? Because that koala will tear your eyes out.
Yes.
Okay? So obviously, Koala Man's powers has to be sudden rage. It's almost like Mr. Furious from Mystery Men. Sudden rage and his rage gives him extra strength.
Yes.
The madder he gets, the stronger he gets.
Yes.
So normally it's just normal everyday, like he's an accountant, he's a CPA with a mid-level firm. Like, sure, mid-level, his name's like Ted. Like, no one, he's like balding, slightly middle-aged, with wire-rimmed glasses, you know. And every single day he just goes to work, comes home, he's got like a single bedroom apartment, nothing too impressive about it, needs a woman's touch, you know, he eats TV dinners. But you know what, when there's a crime out there, especially a crime in his neighborhood, in his hometown, I feel like he lives in a city, so let's say his neighborhood.
Sure.
He goes out there, and when he sees a criminal starting to break into someone's, maybe he has a crush on his neighbor or something like that, he sees a criminal trying to break into his neighbor's house, he gets furious, and then he grabs that neighbor and then just throws him against the wall. through three walls, and then like he goes on. I just want to picture him like galloping on all fours to him to the criminal, and then getting up in his face being like, if you ever think about going up against Cindy or breaking into Cindy's house again, I will rip out your intestines and hang you with them from the gallows, you scum of the earth. And
whoa.
Then I have a lot of inner rage. I'm Koala Man.
I am Koala Man.
And I feel like this also, because I want him to almost, no, hold on, not even almost. I want him to go too far at some point. Like, I want him to, for his rage to take him over so he actually kills a man
accidentally.
Like, he rips off a man's arm like a Wookiee. He just gets so mad. And then it's his dealing with that. And, like, does he want to keep killing, or does he want to be an honorable man?
Nice.
And I feel like this should be, like, something on HBO or maybe a Netflix miniseries, like you said.
I like the way you took it. The way I originally, of course, because I put Captain before everything, as I said, Captain Koala. I saw him as almost like a James Bond villain.
Okay.
Where he just essentially latches onto a tree and doesn't really move until James Bond slash our hero, Were Manatee, shows up.
Yeah.
And then, have you ever seen the picture of, like, the wet, angry koala bear? Have you ever seen it?
No, I haven't.
This is a real thing where they show a koala's, like, on the tree, and then this one gets wet, and it's got its, like, arms out to the side. I encourage everybody to look this up because it almost defies explanation. Is that you look at it and you're like, oh my God, what kind of hell beast is that?
See? It's potential rage.
Absolutely. That's why I see him as a villain.
Okay.
A straight up villain. Because he almost has that Bond villain characteristic of just very stoic, being like, ah, Mr. Bond, eucalyptus, nom 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 nom.
See, maybe that's season two. Like, maybe he kills someone at the end of season one and like,
loves it.
Is he going to be a villain? Or is he going to be a hero? And then season two, he's straight up villain.
Straight. I love it. Yeah. I love it.
Sure.
Yes.
Sure.
I'm glad we both went in a rage.
Sure.
In a rage.
Because when you think koala, you automatically think in a rage.
And it's funny, as probably the first 25 years of my life, like, oh, koala, they're so cute. And now I'm like, no, there's obviously something behind that koala.
That's right. Steve, my number three, I didn't make this easy for you, and I'm sorry. But my number three is a tapeworm.
I mean, you made, especially after the last one here, that you made it very easy for me.
Almost the easiest.
Oh, the easiest of the ones you've given me.
My number one is bat. Can you think
bat?
About
transgender person?
That's correct.
Tapeworm. So, obviously, the tapeworm is... by the way, have you ever met a person that has ever had a tapeworm?
As a pet? Or in their body?
Aren't they kind of the same?
I mean, yeah. I mean, if there's a tapeworm in your body, you're like, oh, well, you're not saying, say hello to my pet.
Yeah, but I don't think you can have a tapeworm out of your body, right?
Can they survive outside the body?
I think that's where they live in bodies.
Obviously, we're scientists.
Clearly.
Biologists, even.
What is that? Captain Tapeworm. I want everything to be Captain, but there's a better name for Tapeworm.
Admiral Tapeworm.
Admiral! General Tapeworm. Just a general Tapeworm.
Just a general.
Actually, I think Tapeworm would either be called... No, I think it would just be called Tapeworm.
Okay.
I think he would just be called Tapeworm.
Like Toad?
Yeah.
Okay.
He would just be called Tapeworm. Because he's not good, but he is not a villain either. He doesn't do the things that he does out of in a malicious way. He just does them because it is what he does.
Mm-hmm.
So Tapeworm... And again, the real biological tapeworm is a thing that lives inside of your belly. And when you eat, it basically goes inside of this tapeworm, inside of your stomach, instead of your actual stomach. And it grows and it grows and it eats your nutrients and you don't feel full. And then you eventually... Do you eventually pass the tapeworm, or does it just keep living inside of you until you do something about it?
I think you have to do something about it. Because, like, why would the tapeworm leave?
Oh, no, I agree. I've never, because that's the thing, I've never met a person that actually had one.
I think that's why tapeworms are called the loafers of the animal kingdom.
So our super medium dude, slightly evil, he's on the spectrum. He's more evil than my previous two.
Sure.
Because nothing about him is necessarily good, but he's the kind of guy that you can recruit eventually against the bad guys, just because there's something in it for him.
Okay.
That's so tapeworm, just tapeworm. He is going to, he's obviously has to like leech.
I feel
nutrients
like,
and things off someone.
Yeah, I feel like anything the tapeworm has, he just, or anything that he wants, he just takes.
Yeah.
That has to be part of it. Like, he doesn't have his own house, he doesn't have his own TV, he just takes it. And
I don't even think it's about houses and TV. I honestly think it's about my envisionment of tapeworm is literally like nutrients and blood from people.
So he's like, I don't want to push my influence on you.
Please do, please do.
But I will push my influence on you, if you know what I mean.
No, my, it's a softie coming.
Oh, boy. So it's like a vampire, but with everything.
Yeah, but like it's instead of him, because we've already gone to a cellular level, so I'm not going to bring that back. Mm-hmm. Normally I would with tapeworm, but I'm not. So I feel like he almost like envelops the person around, like he touches you and he like holds you around the chest sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes things from you, like your nutrients from your body. Sort of thing.
Does he have like little things on the palms of his
hands? Yeah, almost like leeches on his hands. Ooh. And like on his feet.
They look like open sores,
yeah,
almost.
Exactly. Almost little like mouths with little teeth on his hands.
Never high five this man.
So he's a short little guy that like can like crawl up on you without causing too much, you know, fatigue on you. And he crawls up on you, just puts his arms around you and like holds on to you, and like you keep eating and you keep eating and you keep doing whatever it is that you do. And like I almost feel like he's at the point where like no one else can really see him very well. He's almost like predator camouflage in a way.
Okay.
Like he's on you, but you can't, the other people can't see you. And once he's on you, like you have, as soon as he like locks those teeth in, there's almost like a poison that comes out that affects you to where you don't know he's there. You can't see it.
Like a neurotoxin?
Yeah, it's like a neurotoxin.
Yeah.
You can't see it. You don't know he's upon you. You can't feel the weight of his small body on you.
Sure, sure.
And he leeches. And you know what? This is what happens. He leeches nutrients and things you need to survive off of you slowly. But he also, as time passes, he steals some of your memories and your secrets as well.
Ooh. Okay.
But, like, they come slowly to him. So he has to be on you for a while.
Does he need this to live?
He needs the nutrients to live.
Okay.
He doesn't need the secrets to live. That just comes with it over time.
Okay, now question. Now, how long, first of all, before he starts getting memories?
I mean, of course, you're going to have the rising action of originally. It's going to be, it takes him a long time. And then eventually, as he gets more proficient with his powers, it only takes a couple of days, we'll say.
Okay.
I'll say at his close to his peak, it's going to take like 2 days of suction, if you will, to extract important memories.
Well, now there's obviously other people around, or does he wait for this person to come home
he's got to be on a person most of the day.
Okay.
He's got a little bit of time to travel, okay, but most of the day he has to be on something to absorb their powers or their nutrients and stuff.
Okay.
So I think that's why he kind of seeks out loner kind of people. I think, like, at the beginning of his story, he's on, you know, drug addicts in the, you know, in these gross, like, broken-down houses where he's just sucking up their poor, poor nutrients, poor nutrition that they have, and these bad memories. But then eventually he realizes that he can, like, he finds, like, a powerful businessman that's, you know, that, but it's, he's so dedicated to his job. He doesn't have a girlfriend. He works and he goes home. And like he leeches on to that guy, and he finds some secrets, and then he can use those secrets to use it against somebody else. And so like, let's say like, I don't know, 15 hours of the day he has to be leeched on to somebody for his nutrients, but he can to survive.
Sure.
But he can, those other couple hours, he can use the secrets that he has found as leverage against. You know, so maybe like the villain approaches him. It's like, I will give you this whole, you know, this whole row of people, you know, 100 people that you can leech on from day to day to day. If you just tell me what Senator Jacobson is going to do about, you know, whatever.
So he's like a super spy. He could be a super spy.
Yeah, he certainly could be. And that's why, like this, he's in the X-Men world.
Okay.
Where like he's this kind of gross person that like no one wants to deal with, but then they know they need him to infiltrate this, you know, certain thing, and like it, he doesn't care. Whoever the highest bidder is, he'll do whatever he can do just to make sure that he has enough, you know, food to sustain himself. So he'll get the secret for the X-Men to defeat Magneto, you know, or whatever going forward.
Sure. I feel like we should have mentioned this up top, but Sony, Marvel, DC, whoever is out there, we will work with you to bring these movies, these TV shows to life.
And also, not forgetting last week, the Clark Kent and
the Batman
and Bruce Wayne no showing Batman / Superman spinoff web series. I'm legit about it. It's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
Anyway, there you go. There's Tapeworm.
All right. Now, give me your number three.
I will give you your number three, kind sir.
Lay it on me.
And that is the Albatross.
The Albatross. The Albatross, here's a little bit of trivia for you. The Albatross has the world's largest wingspan of birds.
I think you're right.
I know I'm right.
Then you're right.
And sailors used to think they were mermaids in the air.
Oh my God. Have you seen that bird? It's a beautiful sea woman bird.
quick, catch that bird.
See, you can't do it. You just can't do it.
I try to do.
You can't do it.
I can't, man. Quick, Tuberculosis Joe.
Tuberculosis Joe. Fuck that bird. Tell me about the albatross.
Okay, so obviously this person's character, I haven't thought of the name yet, but it's coming to me.
Yeah,
it's coming
okay.
to me.
Take your time.
The power has to be, he's stretchy. But he's not like Mr.
Stretchy.
He's not Mr. Fantastic Stretchy. He's like, have you ever seen the X-Files
Nope.
episode? I think it's just called like Stretch or something like that. It's with it's two episodes. I think they're in the first season. It's with this dude who can like kind of like ooze himself and like stretch himself like through like under like through like keyholes and like under doors, and but it's like super slow. It's not
actually, I have seen that episode.
Yeah, it's like it's a quintessential X-Files episode.
Oh, excellent.
So it's more like that, where it's not like super quick and like an elastic like Mr. Fantastic. It's slow and oozy and kind of okay. gross a little bit. And his name is
Ooze McGee.
Is Albatruz.
Albatruz.
Albatruz. Because his first name is Al.
Right.
And his last name is Batruz.
Yeah. with too many O's.
That's right.
Albatruz.
Albatruz. Mr. Batruz. And Mr. Batruz here, he's a low-level criminal, first of all.
Okay.
And he's not very bright. He's kind of like Sandman in that way, where he's got like this crazy power. He doesn't know how to freaking use it. So I feel like he's like one of the main henchmen of another super villain.
Sure.
Maybe Koala Man, once he goes real rogue,
yeah.
like he'll employ Albatruz.
That makes a lot of sense. That makes a lot of sense.
But Albatruz can like ooze into places where, I keep saying ooze, it sounds so gross.
No, but you know what? The way you keep gesturing with your arm makes your arm seem really long.
That's because it's a hardy. It's not a softy. It's a hardy.
Is it because you're albatruzing over here?
I'm albatruzing away.
Albert Batruzing.
And like, I feel that like he used this as like a little kid to sneak into like the women's bathroom to see like, or the women's locker room to see
sure.
women changing, and he got in trouble, and like he didn't tell anybody how he got the powers or whatever, or like he didn't tell anybody that he has the powers, but like he just always kept that level of debaucherousness about, and like it brought him to low level crime.
Obviously just breaking into your small businesses, into the register, their saves. Yeah,
sure, of course. Like, and he can like ooze. I wonder, can he ooze in between the cracks of a safe?
Batruze?
If he can batruze in between the cracks of a safe.
I mean, maybe later once his powers develop,
man,
he can become thinner with his batruzement.
Sure. But yeah, man. So, and like, he could obviously ooze into, like you said, like senators' homes to really kind of, or like high-powered CEOs of banks' homes to steal their checkbook or whatever. But no, he just, like, robs gas stations for liquor money and stuff like that.
Sure.
Until he's recruited by Koala Man.
Yeah.
Until he and Koala Man and the other animal-themed supervillains, or mid-level henchmen animal-themed people, go to probably go up against Were-Manatee.
I think so far the only hero we have is Were-Manatee, right?
That's right.
Everyone else is at least questionable slash villain.
And if Albatross attacks at night, Were-Manatee is kind of useless.
For 12 hours a day, Were-Manatee is just a sea cow.
That's right. And if it's during the winter, oh boy.
My God.
Yep, that's a long night.
I propose a challenge to both of us then.
Huh.
For these final few, okay, they have to be heroes.
Okay.
Because they have to be the heroes to defeat the villains that we've just set up.
I liked how, at least these last two, I didn't really incorporate the animal at all. I just incorporated, like, a fact, be it made up or real, to influence the person that I make up.
No problem. I like it.
All right.
I like it.
That's Albatross.
Albert Batroos.
And his last name is
Batroooze.
All right, so Steve, your next one, which is your number two, I'm going to tell you the animal, and I'm going to tell you a fact about the animal, and let me know if this influences what the animal's superpower, the superhero thing is going to be. I'm going the echidna. Do you know...
Wait, what?
The echidna. Do you know... Well, your face tells me you don't know what an echidna is.
No.
Do you know Sonic and Knuckles?
Yes.
Knuckles is an echidna.
Okay.
Now, the echidna... Do you know about the echidna penis?
No.
One shaft, four penis heads.
What?
Have you not seen this?
No, I've obviously not.
Would you like to?
Nope.
It's terrifying.
I can't.
So it's like a hedgehog kind of looking dude with kind of like an animal, a little bit larger.
Kind of like an animal, a little larger than an animal.
larger than a hedgehog, and it's got a penis with four heads.
Oh, boy.
Do what you will with that.
Okay. What's it called? An echidna?
An echidna.
Wow. I wonder if Sega was aware of that when they cast Knuckles as that.
Well, if you Knuckles in the right angle, you can see that four-headed
dick
staring at you.
Okay. Well, actually, I'm glad you gave me platypus before and echidna now, because I feel like they're almost opposites,
mm-hmm,
in the way that the echidna, because it has four heads to its penis, the testosterone is firing all of the time. We are talking super, like super suave, super sexual.
Oh yeah,
just all of the time. Almost, beyond Tony Stark,
mm-hmm,
you know, levels all of the time. At any moment, whenever he sees a woman, even if he sees the Were-Manatee in manatee form.
Oh yeah,
I'm just saying. Whenever he sees a lady that can be wooed, taken off of her feet.
Excuse me, madam. I'm going to lift you up for just one second.
And you know what? Some ladies, that's all you need to do.
That's all you need to do, baby.
He is a very, very, very handsome man.
Sure.
Very handsome.
But he's got to be bald with all that testosterone running through him.
Let's say he's got, like, pretty strong widow's peak. He's not bald yet.
Okay, okay.
Eventually, he'll like, he's going to burn out at, like, 45 years old.
Sure.
Or where he's just going to become this decrepit man at 45.
Too much sex, man.
Just too much.
Dude.
So, like, at 28, he's looking like he's a really good 37-year-old sort of deal. Because everything burns hot. But then, when he finally has a lady, because it's going so fast, everything's so fast for him, he too will be fast.
Oh no.
I'm not gonna say, the man does not have four penises slash penis heads to deal with. I'm not gonna give him that.
Thank the Lord.
But let us say he is four times faster than the average man.
So he
knows his way into the bedroom, and once he gets there, it has taken him a long time to get to where he can last a moderate time, if you will.
But I feel like he recovers four times as fast as well.
As well. However, as we know with the ladies, they are not... he is basically... If you're looking at like a heart rate monitor, he's like, beep, boop, beep, boop, beep, boop. Like, he's up, he's down, he's up, he's down, he's up, he's down. And then but as we know, the ladies are a much more constant, slower heartbeat.
Sure, like a sine wave.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So,
baby, you're like a sine wave, baby.
So, okay. So the challenge again that I proposed was that this was our hero.
Okay.
So apparently, our hero is going to fuck his way to victory. Also, if I'm
before we move past the bedroom, because let's stay in there for a good few minutes. I feel like after he, you know, finishes, I feel like he'd take care of the woman afterwards.
Oh,
he's just a gentleman.
He's not an unselfish lover.
That's right.
He happens to be quick, not an unselfish lover.
That's right.
So I'm basically going, because I don't know what this animal is. I'm just going off of what Knuckles is to me. So the man also has enormous fists for punching, which is helpful. And he's very fast.
Okay.
He's very fast.
Okay.
So the man will seduce his way. So obviously he's going to be set up against some lady villains.
Of course.
And also, similarly, James Bond-esque bad guys where they're going to have the women that have gotten too close to the plan.
Yeah.
You know, and then he'll fall in love with one of them, and they won't care that he's so fast in the bedroom. But then, of course, the bad guy will, the koala, obviously, will kill that woman, sending Knuckles into a rage. And then he will unleash just punches, man. Like,
oh, yeah.
Old school, like Batman-style punches.
Like brawls and stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, we are not going to do the current James Bond / many action films today where it's these, you know, 15 different camera angles, quick cuts, blah, blah, punch, 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 punch. It's going to be more like, bam, pow, kazam, as he goes through. After this, it's going to be this very, very well shot, sensual attempt at sensual love scene, showing what a suave, debonair lover this man is. And it's quick, but he's got different methods. He's learned them over the years. And then we're going to go into an old-school action movie. Pow! Kazam! Throwing dudes off the top of like these rails, and they go flying, hearing the Wilhelm scream as they go.
Yeah, yeah.
That sort of old-school just action. But the way he's going to get himself into where he needs to be is by his furious, and I mean furious, love.
All right, man.
He's like James Bond on sexual steroids.
Oof. And that, my friends, that's scary to think about. Because that man, he'll start epping the ground.
To be fair, there are several scenes where he's just humping stuff. He's just humping stuff. And then the woman's like, what are you doing? And he's got some... I mean, I can't even think of it right now because I just can't, because he's that good, because I also don't randomly hump stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Where they'll just be humping, and he's done. And she's like, what was that? I'm like, madam, it's just a preparation for you. Oh, so, it's like, whoa! Whoa! Hold on now.
Like, I feel like he doesn't even realize that he's doing it. It's just a part of who he is, how he's just...
He's like ultra sexualized.
Yeah, yeah.
But
we're not slut shaming here. Like, this is
No. It's to his power. It's what he does.
That is his power.
And then delivers legit punches.
Mm-hmm.
And not like current boxer, like pa 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 pa. Not that kind.
No.
Just shapow.
Just huge Mike Tyson uppercuts.
Yes.
Yes.
All he does. All he's ever played is Mike Tyson Super Punch Out.
That's right.
All he's ever played.
And can we just say, I want gonna throw it out there. He's probably the best at cunnilingus.
He's the dude is the best.
Yeah, he's got. He doesn't have four penises. He might have four tongues. We don't know.
What is it? What's the name of the animal again?
Echidna.
Echidna. Because all I think is knuckles. So I'm just gonna call this man Knuckles. And then, obviously, towards the end, when he punches out Captain Koala, or
Koala Man,
he's gonna say, "Here's a knuckle sandwich." Shaboom! And over the railing he goes.
With a goofy scream.
Oh, it's going to be great. And as he goes over, he's like, "I'll get you, Knuckles!" It's going to be great.
All right, man. So old Knuckles, the echidna.
Yeah.
Sega, don't sue us here.
No, they're going to encourage it.
They're going to encourage it. They're going to fund it.
They're going to back this shit, man.
Yeah.
This is at least a $500,000 idea.
Oh, of course, at least. Almost a million?
We're at least halfway to a million. We'll see what the people say.
Sure. Sounds good. All right, man.
So that's your number two coming at you.
Oh, boy.
Coming at you.
I'm scared.
You should be scared, because here it comes. A hermit crab.
Well, a hermit crab is very cool, because he carries his house around with him on his back.
It's true.
So, obviously, the superpower would have to be he can carry an almost infinite amount of shit, whether it be on his back or just like carry it like firemen's carry or whatever, or like carry it in his arms, whatever. Oddly enough, he's not a very good
lover.
He's a terrible lover. He's got these long, spindly arms. It's just gross. So he's not very fast though. But he's very strong. But he's—I want to say—he's slightly stronger than the normal man. Let's say he's got the strength of two men.
Really?
For like punching and fighting, but he can carry.
Oh, okay.
Like all the weight in the world. So this will be very useful when he's like, you know, saving people from burning buildings. Obviously, he's gonna like, okay, now you on this hand. You on this hand, you on this shoulder, you on this shoulder, you get on top of my head, you get on the small of my back, let's go. And he kind of scuttles out the burning building.
As he always just pinches.
That's right, he's always pinching. And part of me likes the shortness idea that I haven't really incorporated yet, but you have. So I feel like he's like 5'4". You know what I mean? Like he's small, he's squat, but he can like carry as much.
Yeah.
He's not a very good fighter, but like he's got the strength. When he punches and kicks, it's the strength of two men.
Maybe he fights more like a WWE wrestler.
Sure.
Like, more like slams, perhaps.
Sure,
because he can carry them so far. He just throws them on their back and slam them into the ground.
Yeah, he can pick them up, spin them like a pizza pie, throw them out the window. But like if he punches, it's like, oh, that really hurt, man.
Ow.
But why would you? Ow.
That's my ear.
Ow. Why would you punch me in the ear?
God. Ow.
And I feel like he's got really big eyes.
Yeah.
And like just a really small nose.
Gross face.
Yeah,
like he's got a gross face.
He's not a very good looking dude.
So because he's so gross, where does that put him either series wise, movie wise? Because he's not a good look. You don't want him on screen for 2 hours.
I feel like he's the hero that everyone feels sorry for. You know what I mean? He's like this lovable dude that always does good, always, you know, is always doing good, but it's like, oh, hermit crab is here.
Ooh, don't look at him.
Do you have to carry me out of this burning building?
Becca, close your eyes. Becca, it's okay. We're going to survive the fire. Just don't look at this crab man.
He's like, he's super nice. He's like, oh, by the way, that dress really makes you look very nice today. Can you hop on my back so I can carry you out of this burning building?
Ew,
gross.
Gross.
But I feel like in his everyday life, like he volunteers at soup kitchens, and he always gives blood whenever there's a blood drive.
His gross crab blood.
And I feel like much like your tapeworm idea, I feel like his superhero name is just Hermit Crab, but his real life name is something close to that, like Hector
Crabsworth.
Hector Crabsworth.
See, at first when you were talking about people like being on his back and carrying in both arms and the small of his back, it's like, man, You can give him a majestic name like Atlas. He carries the weight of the world on his back.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, but the eyes and the face. And I'm like, oh, you might just call him Crab Cakes.
It's like the superhero that the audience loves, but everyone in his world just kind of is like, now we'll just wait for the next superhero.
yucky. So what? Give me a world. Marvel, DC, you know, the X-Men world, the Batman world.
I feel like it'd have to be X-Men world.
He's the X-Men world guy?
It's okay. Like he applied to be the part of the X-Men, but he walks in to Professor X is like, ew, gross.
I appreciate what you can do, but we've got other people that can kind of do that.
Yeah.
So... get lost.
This man is made of ice. We got fire covered.
Dude, we got a guy made out of metal named Colossus. He'll carry whoever.
That's right.
And he looks good.
Yeah. But like,
crabby weirdo.
This man could pile two or three trailers on top of two or three RVs on top of each other, no problem.
What does he live in regularly?
I feel like he lives in a hovel. I want to say like a rundown one story building, like two room shack in the middle of nowhere. Like everything about this, he's the nicest guy, but everything is just against this man.
Okay.
He's a little superhero that could.
And he's the guy at the end of this series of films where everyone pushes him away. He becomes like the hero at the end.
Yeah.
That saves 9 people, and you know, he doesn't defeat the bad guy, mm-hmm. but he is a crucial part of defeating the bad guy. Like, we underestimated you.
and then he says something something
crabby.
Something like, it's all right, I've lived with it my whole life. And then he turns around and walks away into the sunset. It's like,
yes,
there goes a real hero.
But then like he like picks up like a car and puts it on his back. He's like, this will be my bed tonight. Something weird. Like, oh, Krabby.
And I just came up with a name. His name is Hermit.
Actually, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
I was going to say his name should be Old Krabby. But I like Hermit better.
Yeah.
Okay. Bring it to me.
Okay. You're number one, Steve.
Yes, and my hero. It's got to be a hero.
I pulled it up on my phone because I don't know if you know who this is. Blobfish.
What the fuck is a blobfish? All right, I'm looking at pictures of a blobfish. Oh, that thing. The fish with a nose.
The ugliest fish in the world.
God, you are terrible to do this to me.
I know. Ladies and gentlemen, look up blobfish. It's spelled just like it sounds.
It's basically if you were to make a really terrible prosthetic mask of an old Jewish man and then put it on the body of a fish. You would get a blobfish.
That's right.
It's just this big frown and a big nose. It's like, wow! Why? Why do I have a human face and a fish body?
Now, remember, this has to be a hero.
Yeah, due to my own stipulations.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Does your
shit.
Butt feel good when it's bitten?
Okay. All right. Well... you know, the thing is, I set you up for success in your final one.
Well, you couldn't have known that I would have screwed you over.
Okay, blobfish. Here we go. Blobfish, this is what it is. Blobfish is essentially a condescending father.
Okay.
Is
he a Jewish father?
I mean, race is up to you. I feel like he's universal in the way.
Judaism is not a race, first of all.
Excuse me. Is religion. Pardon me. It is all religious, all race, all. He's just the condescending father.
Okay.
He's got that frown. It's like, well, why weren't you like Wes? Wes got a 4.0 and you got a 3.9. Why weren't you like Wes? So basically, I mean, I don't know how the rest of you feel, but there is almost no power like the power of someone that you want to earn the respect of, but yet it is unattainable.
Sure.
That is what his superpower is.
Mm-hmm.
Unattainable respect, and yet you long for it.
Sure.
And this is both for our good guys and our villains.
Okay.
Everybody longs for the approval of the Blobfish. And I think it's going to be called Mr. Blob.
I like it.
I think it's called Mr. Blob.
Okay.
Mr. Blob sits atop, let's just say he's in the Batman realm.
Okay.
He is in Gotham City.
Sure.
Bruce Wayne owns, Wayne Enterprises, this enormously successful multi-billion-dollar corporation. However, what is a multi-billion-dollar corporation is like Blob Industries. Blob Industries.
I feel like it should be Blobstein.
Blobstein. Blobstein and Company.
That's right.
It's like Blobstein, Wilfork,
Wilfork and Carruthers.
And Carruthers and Company. That is like, because it's too much. But Mr. Blob is the man that, he is that entire company. It's this conglomerate, but it's him.
Sure.
And he is the one that everyone, like, he's got essentially unlimited funds.
Okay.
He has unlimited influence around the world, mm-hmm. essentially. Because there's something, I'll just make this up about Blobfish, I don't even know. I'm going to say that they exude some sort of toxin that almost induces you into this delirious state that you need their approval.
Okay.
That's his power. That is his power. There's something about him that you need it.
Got it.
He, born with that face, that face almost incapable of appreciation and smiling, that face says, no. So it is this perfect mix of, I need it. Well, physically, I'm incapable of giving it to you.
Exactly.
So everything from Bruce Wayne to the Joker to Scarecrow, they all long for his approval. So I feel like what's going to happen, because he needs to be a villain, a hero. Obviously, Batman is the hero of this world.
Mm-hmm.
However, Mr. Blob is essentially the chief informant to Batman.
Interesting. Okay.
So because everyone needs his money and their his appreciation, Scarecrow and Bane and Joker and Penguin, they're all going to be like, Mr. Blob, I have this fantastic idea to take down this entire city. This is what it's going to be. Mr. Blob, well, why did you? Joker has a better plan, Penguin. Why didn't you think about that? And Penguin's be like, ah, damn it. And he's going to go back and like beat up one of his crew. Like, why didn't you think about this? And then in the meantime, he's going to show to be like, Batman, Penguin has a plan to do this and this.
I'm sorry.
In the meantime,
you need to do it in the voice.
Excuse me. Batman, Penguin has a plan to take over the entire city. And it involves poisoning the fish supply. I think it's poopy. Take him down. And Batman's going to be like, thank God for you, Mr. Blob.
That voice just demands respect.
I will do this for you because I need your respect. And in the meantime, he's getting call waited by a voice chat from Joker.
By FaceTime?
A little FaceTime from Joker. Saying like, yeah, Joker, I need, I'm going to do this. And they're like, why would you use playing cards instead of the roulette wheel, Joker? And Joker will say, Harley! Harley Quinn! Get in here! We've made a terrible mistake. And they're like, by the way, Batman, Joker's... And at this point, Batman's going to say, my God, you are terrible. Just listening to you talk is the worst, but God damn it, I need your respect.
That's right.
Mr. Blob, a.k.a. the Blobfish.
Wow, that was so much better than I ever could have imagined.
So there you go. There's number one.
Whew.
The Blobfish.
All right, lay it on me.
So here you go. Your number one.
Okay.
Setting you up for success, you son of a bitch.
Oh, God.
Wah! You son of a bitch. Number one, the stork.
The stork, well, obviously he brings babies to expecting mommies and daddies.
Yes.
I mean, that's how babies are born.
Yes.
Via the stork. Down the chimney. He drops them down the chimney. If you don't have a chimney, he flies in through your window to drop the baby at the proud mommies and daddies' feet.
Yes.
That's what and he's got long, skinny legs. He's a very proud bird.
Yes.
Well, he should be. He's delivering children.
Yes.
Yes, of course. So obviously, this superhero primarily saves children.
Oh, it's good.
It's good.
It's good.
It has to be.
It's good.
I mean, I'm not saying that if there was a burning building next to him and it's filled with adults, he's not going to be like, I'm sorry. Are there any children in there? Please quit screaming, madam.
Excuse me, Shirley? Fuck you. You're over 20.
I'll give Hermit a call and he'll get you all out of there. I don't think he'll be that, but if there's, you know, if there's a burning building filled with adults and there's like a nursery next to it that's filling with poison gas.
Oh yeah.
You got to go for that nursery.
Absolutely.
Oh yeah. So I feel like he's almost like I'm blanking on that that superhero name. I want to feel it's like, oh, what is that? It was an X-Men First Class where that superhero could just evolve into whatever situation was called for.
You're talking about Mystique?
It's like Darwin or something like that.
Oh, I don't know.
It was played by that black guy, and like he could put his head in water and he'd sprout gills. Or like he could... You've seen X-Men First Class, right?
I have.
Basically, whatever situation he's put in, he is able to survive.
Okay.
Like what I just said, like he gets submerged in water, he gets gills, he gets put in poison gas, he can somehow survive in that.
Sure.
If he gets set on fire, like his skin will harden or something like that. But I feel like it'd be something like that. But I feel like he also has the...
Only when he's in the presence of children, perhaps?
Yes, of course. But he also has the ability, maybe not flight... I don't know. I don't know if I want to give him flight on top of that. Maybe he just has super jumping.
I feel like he has really slow flight.
What how do you mean?
Like he can fly, but he as a human has to like flap his arms.
Sure.
So that it's so he can't be like it's not like Superman
no.
flying where he's like arm up like a no. bullet through the sky. He's like whoosh, whoosh.
He's not zooming into the stratosphere. He's lumbering through the air.
Like he's like there's a kid on like the top of this burning building, and there's a building 20 feet away, and he's like, whoosh, whoosh, like to get over the 20 feet.
But I feel like, you know, the poisonous gas in the nursery is like the worst case scenario. I feel like he's a much more of a down-to-earth superhero where it's like he saves children from like abusive families and stuff like that, abusive situations, you know what I mean? If a kid has a drunk dad, like he'll come in and then save him, you know, to cart him away or something like that. Like he's not gonna be I don't know, saving a football stadium full of people. He's not going to be lifting a football stadium and then carting it up like Magneto, as he's been known to do. But I feel like it's anywhere from like that situation, abusive family, to like a bunch of children being poisoned or in a burning building. I don't know why I always go to burning building. But like no matter – and I feel like he can hear when a child is in danger –
okay.
So then, let's give it a radius. Like, let's say, like, a 20-mile radius, maybe.
Sure.
And then a child is in danger. And then, whoosh, whoosh.
30 minutes later.
That's right. In whatever situation that child is in, he dives in and is able to save the day.
Okay.
Okay.
Also, he has a really nice tie-in with Law & Order Special Victims Unit.
Oh, yeah.
Very nice.
And obviously, his superhero name is... Stork guy.
No, come on.
Okay.
Storkus Maximus.
Storkus Maximus. I know. What can you do?
I know.
The big stork.
I mean,
let's see.
Wings of Redemption. I'm trying something bigger.
I think you just titled the movie.
Yes.
Wings of Redemption.
That's the second film, by the way.
Okay.
You know, and I said I was setting up for success, but when I originally thought about this, before I made the gross, stupid comment of these should both be heroes for our number one and two, I was thinking of him as a fantastic villain.
Okay.
That went and stole children
from
people.
That would have been great.
That's what I was thinking. But then I put on the, when I said set you up for success, but that's a good villain too.
It is a great
the
villain.
The stork who does not deliver children, but who steals children.
And I want to say, you know what? I don't know. I keep saying that I want to say because I'm not 100% sure. I'm just gonna have some balls and say this. To put some edge to this character, this unnamed stork-like character, he will not save people over 18.
Thank you for saying it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No, Wes. You're welcome.
Thank you.
There's a burning building filled with grandmothers. Sorry,
no.
Grandma.
Only 18 years old. That's what he decides the adult line is.
That's right.
Strong.
And we're going to call it the Stork Father.
Honestly, the best name is obviously just the Stork.
The Stork.
It is the Stork.
Mm. Darkwing Stork.
Darkwing Stork. Darkwing Stork.
Okay, so
I'm going to give you the five that I gave you,
okay,
Wesley. And again, that was the manatee.
The were-manatee.
The koala.
Koala man.
The albatross.
Albatruz.
Albert Batruz. The hermit crab.
Hermit.
And number one, the stork.
Stork Daddy Max.
Stork Daddy Max.
And the five I gave to you was number five was the platypus. Captain Platy.
Captain Platy.
As, number four was the amoeba.
Amoeba Man.
Number three was the tapeworm.
It was tapeworm. Not the tapeworm.
Tapeworm. Number two was echidna.
Knuckles.
Number one is blobfish.
Mr. Blob. Mr. Blob, the most powerful man in any city ever, anywhere.
Mr. Blob. Why weren't you like Wes?
Guys, thank you for sticking with us on this extra, extra long podcast. I hope you had a great time with this because I know we had a great time doing
and
it.
And I really, really look forward to your emails of your top five superheroes, your make-em-ups right now.
And I feel like I'm going to give a challenge to you out there. I feel like you should task a friend to give you five animals and
yeah.
for you to come up with those.
Yeah. You know, this is a good like party game.
Yeah, yeah.
Sort of that you sit around, you have a couple drinks and say, all right, Tiffany, your superhero is based off of a puggle.
Oh my god, the most adorable superhero ever.
Go after it, Tiffany.
So yeah, guys, if you want to write in your top five, please do. We love hearing from you guys. I don't know why I said hearing twice. We love hearing from you guys. So you can leave a comment here on oneofus.net. You can email us at fiveplaynet@gmail.com.
So thank you guys so much again for writing in. We appreciate it. We had a huge amount of emails this last week, and it was fantastic. We love reading through them. So please write in. And as always, I'm Steve.
I'm Wes.
That was five.
And we're out!